Thanks for listening to this message from the life of St. Bees. We're a church that loves to empower, equip and inspire. And in order to better fulfill this call, we're currently undertaking an audacious church relocation project. Find out more, including how you can take part, at www.goandgrow.london. Thank you, and may this message better help you to live a life full of adventurous faith.
Thanks. So tonight, Ryan said I could preach on anything. That was quite dangerous. But I, when in doubt, I always turn to John. John is my favourite book in the Bible. There are some great books, but I just love John. And when I did theology, I studied John each year, mainly because he's just so great, that gospel. So we're going to talk tonight about how we have seen his glory. So I'm going to be talking John chapter 1, 1 to 18. Drop a fancy term in there, the prologue of John. Yeah, you've all learned a theological word. Even Alice, she's like, what? The prologue, there you go. So it is the beginning part. It was written at the end of John's gospel. Well, some people dispute it. I think it is. It's a bit like when you write a great essay, you tend to write your introduction at the end because you can sum up everything. And we are going to be looking tonight at how this wonderful promise of God's glory is not just present in the Bible and those beautiful pages and those artistically like drawn pictures where we see God's glory shown, but it is true in our lives as well. And while I just do a little introduction, if you haven't got a Bible, then please put your hand up. Lovely hospitality team will whiz round and give you one. If you've got it on your phones, you can get your phones out now and go on your Swish apps that I can't have because I don't have enough phone storage. Or you can just, you might have brought your Bible with you. You know, that is a vintage way as well. This is a story, we are going to come back to this. When I was little, I didn't know what career I was going to choose. And I thought I would be a children's TV presenter. And I thought I was going to be a really good children's TV presenter. And there was a TV show on a Saturday morning called SMTV Live, which had Anton Deck and Kat Deeley, all who have gone on to great things. And I, on a Friday night, would write the script for SMTV Live. You might not have realised it, but I did. This is all true, embarrassingly so. And I would wake up on a Saturday morning and I would choose my outfit, normally on what Kat Deeley would wear, but I didn't really have that, so it was normally floral leggings and a polo neck, because that was in fashion in the early 90s. And I would line my teddies up, and I would put on SMTV Live, and I would occasionally mute the presenters, and I would present Saturday morning TV. My teddies really enjoyed it. I never quite made it onto television. There is still time. And then I evolved into Blue Peter. So when I was baking as a child, here's one I made earlier, did happen. But I would model myself on these great TV presenters who have gone on to great things. So I chose the right people to model. When I left university and took up a job as a teaching assistant, I spent 6 hours of my day in other people's lessons. Some of them were great, some of them weren't. Sorry, but it was true. Friday afternoon, no one wants to be teaching. Not even me. I put videos on. No, I don't. I really don't. But YouTube is really helpful sometimes for meditation. And so I would see how teachers would deal with different things, behaviour, swearing, things being forgotten, things being lost, and all the dramas that comes with teaching teenage girls who are very hormonal in one classroom. And I, when I went to teacher training, would model this approach. So I'd take all the best bits, put them into me, and I would be the amazing teacher. No, but I would try to do what they had done. So I would model myself on different people. And I just want you to have a little think while I invite Luke to come and read to us our passage. Is who are you modelling yourself? Who are you modelling in your work? Maybe you've got a great colleague that you're like, I want to type like they type. Or maybe you are modelling yourself on someone at church. Like, well, they seem really into God. And maybe if I modelled myself on them, I might get a bit closer. So just have a little think. Who are you modelling yourself on? Luke, where are you? Here he is. He's going to come and read. The passage is also going to appear on the screen, so don't worry if you've not got an app, a Bible, and you just like to stare at the screen. You can stare.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, "This is he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me.' Out of his fullness we have all received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in the closest relationship with the Father, has made him known."
Great, thanks. I hate reading that passage because it's a bit tongue-twisty, so I delegated. That is a joy of preaching, you can delegate. So tonight we're going to look at three things. God with us, we have seen his glory, and we are called to share that glory. So God is with us. John 1, verse 14, the incarnation. God took on flesh in the person of Jesus. The Message translation says that he literally pitched up his tent and made his dwelling in the neighborhood. And you might read that and you think, oh, well, what's special about that? But that was really radical, because for the Jewish people, God had always dwelt either in the Ark of the Covenant or when the temple was built in the innermost sanctum, the Holies of Holies. And you could only go to the Holies and Holies if you were like a top dog religious leader. Like, you weren't allowed near it. So actually, you couldn't go to be in God's presence. And if you did, you actually had to physically go to be with him. But here in the gospel, we learn that Jesus comes to be with us, that he comes to dwell with us. And Father God could have sent his son anywhere. I mean, if you are, you know, Father God in heaven and you're thinking, right, my son's coming to earth, you probably want the best for him. You know, he could have had a comfy palace. He could have had a nice little comfy setting, maybe in a nice city. I don't know what you needed in that day to be comfy, but it was probably a potload of money. But he didn't send Jesus, his son, there. He sent him to a filthy stable, to illiterate parents. You know, their families had rejected him because he was seen as illegitimate. So he was born in a stable. There was hay happening. There was disease. There was animal waste. And he was born into poverty and suffering. And Jesus knew what suffering was like. He knew what it was like to see family drama. You know, Mary and Joseph might have had a few arguments. And he knew what it was like to see people rejected. He himself was rejected on the cross. No one was there. They left him. He knew what it was like to go for hungry. He sat and walked in the desert for 40 days without any food. He knew what it was like to be ostracized, to be persecuted. He came in to suffering. He came in to darkness, so that we would know what light looked like. God is with us in that suffering because he has experienced that suffering. He's not that far off God in a temple behind a curtain. He stepped in to our suffering so that he could be with us. At Carols by Candlelight, David shared a message of the prodigal son. And I've been teaching my year sevens in our Jesus unit. Yes, we have a whole unit on Jesus. It's great. I'm dragging it out. We have a whole unit on Jesus and we look at parables. And I was teaching them about the parable of the prodigal son because everyone loves that parable. I love it. You know, you go, you spend all your money, you come back and your father welcomes you. And as I was teaching it to my year sevens, I was struck by this verse. "But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him." And that part where it says the father saw him when he was a long way off. So like the prologue, so like 1 John. that here, God didn't send Jesus to us when we were all sorted or getting our way to being sorted. He sent his son when we were well off, where we were in our sin and in our shame and in our darkness, when we were in our pit and loving life there, where we had become consumed by religious rituals, by laws, by money, by what was right and what was wrong, that we turned our backs on God. And he came to us when we were far away, that he came and met us in that suffering to be the tangible presence of God with us, so that when we were in that suffering and that shame and that darkness, his son Jesus could lead us by being the light. That our sin and our darkness couldn't overcome God, couldn't diminish his son's sovereignty. But instead, our darkness made Jesus' light grow brighter. And it leads us into a relationship. And when we choose to become Christians, we choose to have God with us. And that doesn't mean that our lives get any easier. If someone's life has got easier, I said the wrong prayer, and I need to go back and say another one. But it doesn't become easier, but it means that God is with us in our suffering. And this Christmas has been an interesting one in my family household. I'm very blessed to have two older brothers. And my middle brother, Philip, has a really rare condition. So rare, actually, it was only discovered when we had some more genetic testing done like 3 years ago. And it's a really rare disease. Don't go and look it up on the internet because you just cry. And it's called 1p36 deletion syndrome. And it just means lots of things go wrong for Philip. And if he gets ill, it's very serious. And we were chilling on Saturday night, last Saturday. We were going to bring him home. And we got a phone call from where he lives. And they said, you've got to come quite quickly. It takes an hour to get there. We're like, oh, we've got to go quite quickly. In we go. Westbury's have a little bag that we take when we go to hospital with supplies. And we got there. And he was really unwell. His oxygen levels were down to about 79, 80. He was still sitting up in his Christmas jumper. I'm just going to say that. Like, you know, if you've got failing oxygen, you do it in an Elfie jumper. And eventually we got to Harlow and we were admitted. And it turns out that Philip had pneumonia in his left lung and it was kind of collapsing. And throughout the week, I had put on Facebook that he was really ill. But I hadn't shared that there was actually a 50% chance that Philip wasn't even going to make it to Christmas. And as a family, we sat in that hospital and we didn't know what to do. And we prayed like we had never prayed before. And in that suffering, we saw that God was with us. That God would not let sickness and health overcome Philip. And, I mean, it is a miracle. On Christmas Eve, right 5 minutes before the discharge deadline came, they said that Philip could come home. And not only that, his oxygen was back up to 100. Philip's oxygen is never back up to 100. His, like, good days, like 95. And that he could come home. And I tell you what, yesterday and Christmas, you would not have known that his lungs still had pneumonia. And the doctor said to us, not being funny, this isn't really meant to happen. And we said, no, but God is with us. And they were like, oh, one of those lot. I was like, yes, one of those lot. And it's true. God doesn't make our situations easier, but he is with us. And when we have nothing to cling on to, we have God, and his light cannot overcome our darkness because we have seen his glory. You know, that's just one example, but we have seen his glory. And in the prologue, John tells us very clearly that Christ brings light and salvation, that Christ is the light of the world who steps into darkness and reveals the glory of God, that we had messed up our relationship so much. But Jesus came so that we could be back in relationship with him, that we could have a life, that even when there is darkness, there is a light. The Queen's speech, loved that. She was chatting about it. That it's true that the darkness is not overcome. And when we read the Psalms, I was reading the Psalms, and in it, David says in Psalm 27, verse 1, the Lord is my light and salvation. How true is that in the prologue and in the Gospels? That Jesus is our light and our salvation. That Jesus took on the full weight of our sin and our shame and our darkness on the cross. And we saw the glory of God, not just in his miraculous healings, not just in his teachings, but when he was in his deepest suffering on that cross, alone, he took on everything and revealed the Father's glory. That resurrection is a testament to the Father's glory that we sing about, that we tell about, that books are written about. You know, every time you come to church, you hear about the resurrection in some shape or form. You've heard about it through me tonight. But you hear about it because the glory of God has been revealed through his Son, Jesus. That the darkness of our world cannot overcome the truth that comes through Jesus. That through Jesus, we have the fullness of God's grace, the fullness of his love, the fullness of a relationship with him. And we have seen that glory. You know, I've seen God's glory this week. I've seen God's glory in my life as I've changed, as my heart's become softened. No matter how dramatic our stories, I mean, you might not have a family member on death's door. I pray you never do, because it's an interesting time. But we all have a story to tell. We all have had God working in our lives. We have seen his glory. If we've not seen it in our own, we've seen it in other people's. But God's glory is in us. Because when we choose to accept Christ, Christ comes into our hearts and we become part of that glorious story of salvation. And our job is to share that light with other people. So when I say I was modelling TV presenters and teachers, yeah, I still do model other teachers. But what I want for this new year is I never really give up stuff anymore because I'm not very good. By day two, I'm on the chocolate, I'm on the crisps, and that little, like, I bought one of those mini steppers once and that's in my bedroom, like, it's not used. It's really good for modelling your shoes, though. I never use it. So I decided to stop giving up things and instead to try and take up things. So last year, I tried to take up spending a bit more time with God because I'm not always very good at that, and I tried, and it's gone better. It has gone better. And this year, I'm trying to model Jesus more in my life because we have seen what God did through his Son. Jesus says he only did what he knows his Father did. So if I'm reading about Jesus, if I'm spending time with Jesus, then I am modeling Jesus to those places that I can go and pitch up my tent in the neighborhoods, and you don't have to look far. Your neighborhood might be your university, your school, your place of work. Could be your commute on the tube. You are called to be light in those dark places, to reveal God's glory, to testify what God has done. I mean, this week I was speaking to one of my friends from work. She emailed me and was like, what's happened with Philip? And I told her, and she was like, wow. Like, she was like, that's amazing. I was like, well, not really when you think that God can raise somebody from the dead. I mean, you know, he wasn't even dead yet. You know, we've seen his glory and we can testify to that. We can pray with people. And yeah, sometimes it fails. I've prayed for people for healing and it hasn't worked. But sometimes it does. Because we have to trust that God will use all things for his good and his glory. And maybe just offering to pray with somebody is breaking into their darkness. And being with them, just as Jesus stands with us in our darkness and our sin and shines a light. Maybe we need to take that light to people. Because actually, when we do that, we are Jesus' hands and his feet. Mother Teresa put it really beautifully. She said, I'm a little pencil in the hand of a writing God who is sending a love letter to the world. What if we allowed God to use us in 2016 in a way that we've never allowed him before? What if we allowed him to use our lives to show more clearly to everybody around us the glory of God? That God isn't something distant, he isn't something in a dusty old book, but he is God with us. And we have seen his glory. And we are called to share that glory. And it is scary, and it is a bit strange when everybody else seems to think that at the moment religion is to do with war and suffering. But what if we showed them that actually Jesus calls us to be light in the darkest of places? So where can you be light? Where can you be different to other people? Where can you radiate the glory of God? So that in that darkness, light begins to break through. It doesn't have to be you standing in the middle of your, like me, standing in my staff room on January and saying, Jesus is the light and the way and the glory. People at work would think I had lost it. But maybe it's when I know that someone's family is unwell, praying for them. Or maybe if I see somebody at work stressed out, just taking time to talk to them. About being God in the small things with people. Jesus didn't always perform miracles. Sometimes he just chatted to people. But I would also say that in order to be light, we have to model what Jesus did. And he spent time with his Father. And after every act and miracle and story, he went away and was with his Father. So we are called to be light, but we must not let our light diminish. We must be with our Father and allow Jesus to be with us as well. So for some of you, a bit like me, allowing Jesus to be with me when things are difficult can be the biggest challenge. You might find it easy to go and be light and telling people about Jesus. But maybe this year, you need to allow Jesus to stand with you in other things that you've not let him share in before. So I'd like to invite you to stand, just because you've been sitting. And if you're like me, I get pins and needles in my bum after a while. Alice will come up and do some like strumming. And I'll lead us in a prayer. And then I'm sure Ryan will come up and share some of the words the prayer ministry team has had. Feel free to make yourself comfortable if that means, you know, having your hands open, shutting your eyes, turning around, kneeling, moving away from your row. Father God, we thank you so much that at Christmas you sent your Son to be Emmanuel, God with us. We thank you that the glory of you is not confined simply to pages in a gospel or the Bible, but it is true and is evident in our life. Father, we ask that as 2016 approaches, that we would not model celebrities or colleagues we admire, or even people in church who we put on a pedestal. But Lord, we would model you. We would model how you went to the dark places, how you pitched up your tent in the neighborhoods, how you were with the broken, those who were in poverty, those who were suffering. Lord, teach us how to be those pencils in your hand. Teach us how to show love to those around us, to reveal the glory of God. And Lord, I thank you that the darkness does not overcome you, that you are good, you are glorious, and you are God. And Lord, I pray that we would know more clearly this year how you are with us, how you dwell with us. Lord, take us to places, take us out, Lord, of our comfort zones, and let each one of us be lights of your glory, breaking in the kingdom of God in our schools, our universities, our places of work, our neighborhoods, our tube carriage. Lord, would we see your glory fall in our nation and our world in 2016? And would you lead us in your ways and be with us? Amen.